The portion of God's Word that we focus on this Easter morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28. Let's begin with prayer. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always pleasing in your sight, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. What are you afraid of? Unless you're playing the macho card, we have to admit that all of us have something that we're afraid of in this life. Maybe you're afraid of mice or spiders, big crowds or tight spaces. Maybe you're afraid of losing your job or losing your health or losing someone that you love. Maybe you're afraid of your guilty past or your guilty present, or how God feels about that guilt. So whether it's spiritual things or whether it's physical things, all of us are afraid of something. Oftentimes, most of us are afraid of a lot of some things. This week, I've been thinking a lot about fear. And the more I thought about it, the more I came to the conclusion that every single one of our fears is the result of uncertainty. I mean, think about it. People are afraid of snakes because they're uncertain whether that snake is just going to slither away or latch onto their leg. Afraid of the dark because they're uncertain what might be lurking around them in the darkness. Afraid to lose their job because they're uncertain how they would make ends meet. Afraid of losing someone they love because they're uncertain how they would deal with the grief. Afraid of death because they're uncertain what comes next. If you really think about it, all of the things that we're afraid of, they all stem from uncertainty. And so logically then, if we can just remove uncertainty from our lives, we would have no reason to be afraid. Sounds easier said than done, though, right? Sounds too good to be true, Pastor. But hear me out this morning when I tell you that Easter erases fear. This Easter, embrace the truth that Jesus' empty tomb removes all sense of uncertainty from our lives and therefore removes every single one of our fears. The gospel before us this morning sort of serves as a case study of how Easter erases fear. In his writing, Matthew gives us a glimpse into the lives and hearts of some of Jesus' female followers as they were filled with uncertainty and fear, shackled with grief after the things that they had witnessed in the past 48 hours. On Friday afternoon, two Marys, Mary Magdalene and Mary the wife of Clopas, had stood near the cross, mournfully watching Jesus' life ebbing away. That Friday evening, they had watched as two men had hurriedly wrapped Jesus' lifeless corpse and laid it to rest in a newly cut tomb, rolling a huge stone over the entrance to that tomb to keep people out. The next day, Saturday, was a Sabbath, a day intended for their peace and their rest. But how could they possibly find peace and rest on a day when their hearts were overflowing with sadness and fear and uncertainty? We thought he was the one. Were we fools for believing in him? What happens to us now? You see, with Jesus dead, the lives of his followers were filled with nothing but uncertainty and fear. And so as Sunday was dawning, these women set off for Jesus' tomb, bearing spices, conceding that he's dead. And there's nothing that we can do about it except for giving him a proper burial. And so they set off for the tomb with these slow, joyless steps, headed for the mournful tomb in which they saw their Lord laid to rest. Their minds and their hearts swimming with uncertainty, wondering aloud to each other, who's going to move the stone away from the entrance to the tomb so that we can get inside? But they wouldn't have to worry about it, because God had already taken care of it. See, early on that Sunday morning, before the women arrived at the tomb, there was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. God sent an angel to roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb, not to let Jesus out, but to let everyone else in. God wanted everyone to be able to see that that tomb was empty. No body. No Jesus. And that angel's appearance absolutely terrified those soldiers. Men who had been trained to be fearless in any and every situation melt into puddles and flee for their lives as God laughs at mankind's futility in stopping his power. See, the Pharisees had sealed up Jesus' tomb as tightly as they knew how. They had put the guards there to keep watch, to make sure that no one could come and steal the body away. Because the Pharisees knew that if they could keep Jesus' dead body there in that tomb, then they could convince everyone that his message had all been a lie, that he was a fraud, not the Savior. And yet that angel comes along and flips open the tomb as easily as I open the door in my refrigerator and shows everyone that there is nothing inside, that the tomb is empty because no one can keep the Savior dead. And that's the beautiful, comforting message that the angel shares with those women to drive the fear and the uncertainty from their hearts. As they arrive at the tomb, shocked to see that it was already standing open, the angel says to them, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay." The women didn't flee in fear because the angel's message caused their fears to flee. Just think of the implications of that message for those women and for all of us. With Jesus dead, their lives were dark with fear and uncertainty. Everything that they believed, everything that they had lived in the past number of years, even their eternity, was all just up in the air as long as Jesus was dead. As Paul would write a few decades later, "If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins." If Jesus had stayed dead in that tomb, then he could do no more to give us eternal life than any other person buried beneath a headstone in a cemetery. If Jesus had stayed dead, we'd be left wondering and floundering in fear and uncertainty. Well, how then can we be saved? If Jesus had stayed dead. But that's why Easter erases fear. Because he didn't stay dead. As the angel said, "He is not here. He has risen." The angel's message in the empty tomb of Jesus reveals to us everything we need to know to have complete certainty in our lives in the face of our physical and spiritual fears. As the angel said, Jesus was crucified. See, we have no need for spiritual uncertainty over our sins. Because Jesus died to pay for the sins of the world on Good Friday, suffering hell on that cross, the punishment that all of us deserve for our sins, he took it on himself. And the empty tomb of Easter is proof that God accepted Jesus' payment in full, that the sins of the world had been paid for. As Paul writes to the Romans, Jesus was delivered over to death for our sins, and was raised to life for our justification. Just as a convict leaves prison after he's paid the required sentence for his crimes, Jesus leaves his prison of death in the tomb after he had paid the price for the crimes, not of himself, but of the world. There's no need to fear because our sins are paid for. And did you catch what the angel said, the subtle reminder that he gave to these women? He has risen just as he said. Jesus' followers had spent this long weekend drowning in fear and uncertainty, but they didn't have to. Because Jesus had told them time and time again exactly what was going to happen from Maundy Thursday until Easter Sunday. Matthew 16 tells us, "From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life." Shortly before Palm Sunday, Jesus again reveals, "The Son of Man will be condemned to death and crucified. On the third day, he will be raised to life." On Maundy Thursday, in the last moments that Jesus has with his disciples, he once again assures them, "After I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." If the disciples had just taken Jesus' promises to heart, if they had remembered those promises, then they would have had no need for fear or uncertainty. They could have been camped there outside of Jesus' tomb, waiting for Sunday morning to welcome him back after he had risen. But can't the same thing be said of us? That we fill our lives with unnecessary fear and uncertainty simply because we fail to always trust in the simple promises that Jesus makes to us. See, to drive fear and uncertainty out of your hearts, Jesus has made promises to you. From the very first sin of Adam and Eve, God promised that he was going to send a Savior. And the empty tomb is proof that God never fails to keep his promises. He sent that Savior in Jesus. And with the resurrection of Christ, he brought that plan of salvation full circle. So God never fails to keep his promises to you. Are you afraid of uncertain troubles in this world? Jesus promises, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." See, the empty tomb guarantees security for all of the troubles, the uncertain times that we face in our lives. Jesus defeated the inevitable power of death that no one else but God has power over. And so Christ is God. And as God, that means that he holds the power and complete control over everything in this world, including the things that make you afraid. Are you afraid of uncertain death and eternity? Jesus promises to you, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies." Because Jesus defeated death, he gives us the promise of eternal life. And that when he comes again at Judgment Day, he's going to raise our bodies back to life, just as his body came back to life, to be reunited with our souls for eternity in heaven. Are you afraid of an uncertain future? Jesus promises, "And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." The Savior who loved you enough to set aside a crown of glory and take on a crown of thorns, to set aside immortality, to take on death so that we might have life. Do we really need to be afraid that he doesn't also love us enough to direct and guide our future to be a blessing for us? There's nothing to fear because Christ is in control. See, the truth of Easter is, do not be afraid. He is risen. And with that beautiful reminder, that beautiful comfort coming off the lips of the angel, uncertainty is crushed and fear is removed. And the tomb of mourning and sadness turns completely into a symbol of victory. And so the angel sends the women off to tell his disciples, who were still locked away in a room, completely terrified. And so these women change from their mournful, joyless walk to a happy sprint. And yet we're told that as they race away, they were still afraid, yet filled with joy. As much as the empty tomb of Easter made them joyful, they still had this nagging fear in the back of their minds, this continuing uncertainty, causing them to think, what if it's all a hoax? What if our heartbroken minds and our weary hearts is just playing a trick on us, conning us into believing that something that's just too good to be true might have actually happened? What if? do not be afraid. Like an explosion going off to destroy the last remaining fear and uncertainty from their hearts, those are the words that Jesus himself spoke to them. Jesus, alive and in the flesh and blood. The same flesh and blood that they themselves had followed. The same flesh and blood that they had seen nailed to a cross. The same flesh and blood that they had seen laid to rest in a tomb. Jesus is alive. And it was proof to them that the Savior, who had triumphed over death, who had conquered sin and removed it from our lives, who loves us unconditionally, who controls everything in the world, our Savior is alive. And so there's nothing left to fear. And the words that come from Jesus' lips to those women make that beautifully clear. As he tells them, go and tell my brothers. Kind of surprisingly, this is the first time it's recorded for us in Scripture that Jesus calls the disciples his brothers. After all that had just happened, after they had betrayed him and abandoned him and forgotten his promises, Jesus still calls these fearful men who are locked away in terror, these foolish, fumbling, fearful, doubtful men, he calls them his brothers. And that's a beautiful reminder for us of exactly what happened on Good Friday and what happens because that tomb is empty. It's why there's nothing to fear. Because with his death, Jesus removed the sin that separated us from God so that we could be God's children. And so the one who created the universe and keeps it in control, he is our Father. The one who died to defeat hell and death forever, he is our brother. And so there's no more reason to be uncertain because Jesus is alive. I have to admit, for the sake of transparency and honesty with you all here today, I'm pretty afraid of snakes. In fact, as a kid, I always pretended that I liked them to make sure that my friends didn't find out and make fun of me. But there was this one time as an adult where a garter snake slithered across my foot and I jumped about a mile in the air and screamed like a frightened child. And yet, when I go to the zoo and I go into the reptile house and I stand this far away from that glass case holding the 20-foot python, I'm not afraid. Why? Because I know that I'm safe. Because I know that unless that zoo wants a lot of bad publicity, I can be certain that I'm completely protected. I'm certain of that. And that's exactly what Easter does to our fears. We're protected. You see, yes, I might stand in front of that case looking at that snake and I don't really like it. I don't want to hold it. It still kind of makes me go, ugh. But I'm not afraid of it because I'm certain that I am protected. And in the same way, that empty tomb of Easter, it's proof to us that Jesus' promises, Jesus' love, Jesus' power protects us from every single thing in this world that causes us to fear. A case to keep us safe and protected from harm. We're certain of that. And so, yes, we might not like death. We might not like cancer. We might not like unemployment or darkness or terrorist attacks. But we don't have to be afraid of them. Because the one in whom we put our trust, our Savior, he's alive. And so, in the face of every fear and every uncertainty, may the words of the angels be ever on your hearts and ever on your minds. Do not be afraid. He has risen. Amen. Please stand. and the love of God, which goes beyond all human understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus, our risen and ever-living Lord. Amen. This time we'll gather our thank offerings to God. We also ask you to fill out the friendship register and pass